I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
I'm going to give the audience what I think they want.
They want chase scenes and car crashes.
They want the cops to bend the rules to get the job done. They want the boy to get the girl. They want the good guy to win. They want the bad guy to die, hopefully in the biggest explosion the budget will allow. But most importantly, Senator, they want to walk into a theater and for 90 minutes forget the fucking mess that you have left of this nation.
Go get your bubblegum.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome back to All Out of Bubblegum, the podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about the 2024 action surprise debut, directorial debut, I guess, of Dev Patel, Monkey Man. And today, I have with us Jaws.
Hello.
Marty.
Hello.
And Brandon.
Hello.
All right, and where do you think we want to start talking about this one?
I'd say let's start with Jaws, our Bollywood connoisseur.
Yeah, of course. Resident I was the expert. One. Yeah, yes. Not really an expert. There's so much stuff. So, but anyways,
compared to us,
yeah, yeah, of course.
Can but, this really be mm-hmm. counted as a Bollywood film?
Yeah, that's what I was going to start with. Like, it's not a Bollywood movie. It's not an Indian movie. It wasn't even shot in India, but it's set in India. So yeah, that's. I think it's a British American production. It was the first Netflix joint, and they made the movie, and Netflix saw it, and they decided it was too good for their platform, so they ended up canceling it, and Jordan Peele saw it, Jordan Peele, the comedian director.
Yeah, Monkey Paw Productions.
Yeah, appropriate for the movie.
Yeah.
And so he got mad about the movie, like he really liked it, and he decided to give it a theatrical release and become executive producer of the movie. So he kind of saved the movie from falling into oblivion, which is a great thing for me because I really like this movie.
Yeah, this is a film that very much wears its inspirations on its sleeves. It's very, I mean, they name drop John Wick, obviously, and then the visual splendor of John Wick is there, all the neons, especially in the clubs. And then I would say like the Raid 2 and that, you know, the kind of rippling out from that very much in this, in the vein here, or in the veins.
Mm-hmm. I think there are actually a lot of references to previous stuff. Like in one of my reviews, I said like it was as if Danny Boyle or Winding Refn, Nicholas Winding Refn made John Wick. Mm-hmm. And like there's some small stuff, like when he buy your weapon, it's like a bit like Taxi Driver when he chooses his weapon from the arm dealer and all that stuff. Like subtle references, obvious references as well. And it makes for a good mix, I think, of new stuff and old stuff. And it's like an Indian movie, like obviously referencing to Bollywood and all the other type of cinemas they have there. But it's not referencing the mainstream Bollywood movies. It's more like has Western influences. There's one reference, explicit reference to Bollywood that I have noticed. It's like when Dev Patel's character is having a knife in his mouth and he just stabbed the guy's throat while biting it.
Yeah,
it's like a direct reference to the movie Rocky Handsome, starring John Abraham. It's a Bollywood movie, like. It's like a bit like Monkey Man, but more Bollywood-like. And I recommend it.
Did you do a kill count video for that one?
Yep, I did.
Okay, because I sort of recognized the kill of him taking the knife with his teeth and pushing it in, but I didn't remember where from, so I probably watched it in your kill count video.
Okay.
That's one of the things this movie kind of does. You know, there's an earlier scene where he bites the guy's nose. And
twice.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I'm specifically talking about when he bites the nose off, I guess. But but that there's that like this kind of real gross tactility to the way he does things in this that but it's like funny in a way where you're like oh no, but you're laughing, you're like having a good time. And that's kind of what I thought when he bit the knife. I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah, there's a light humor in the violence, even though most of the violence is very visceral and realistic. Like they have some fun with the action scenes, with the choreography, the camera movement, and all that stuff, but it feels grounded. It's not supposed to be like a very fun action movie, but there's some light elements that references more Eastern action type movies or Indian type action movies as well, other than the pure Western one.
It definitely has a very unique identity, I think. And it's doing, like I said, we're referencing all these other things. It's like, okay, you acknowledge this, and then you know, James Cameron would do that. You know, it's like, okay, he's kind of acknowledging the things that he likes and then making something all his own from it. This is a very impressive directorial debut.
Yeah, I agree.
I loved watching this. And, you know, you got a lead who's this kind of great, you know, handsome movie star looking guy doing these just horrific, dirty fighting scenes. And that there's that aspect there, which, of course, it's another thing that's sort of John Wick-ish. But I think this guy's he's obviously a much better looking guy than even Keanu Reeves. But man, can he really like throw himself in there? Like I was just impressed so many times where I was like, God, that looked like it fucking hurt. You know, there's so many times in this movie.
Yeah, I think he did like most, if not all, of his stunts, and he got like a wrist injury. Like he broke his fist during one of the action scenes, and kept on going filming while still injured.
He broke his toes,
tore
his shoulder. Big props to Dev Patel.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there is a tactility, as you said. Like, there's one part during a fight in a bathroom where, like, Dev Patel reaches into, like, a shit, like, stained toilet to grab a gun. And that moment made me cringe. But this movie, I really like the blend of Eastern and Western sensibilities to have its own identity. And it rises above some of those inspirations, too. Like, when you mentioned John Wick, this movie name drops John Wick, but I think it's just as good, if not better, than many of the John Wick movies themselves.
Oh, I'd easily watch this again before really any of the John Wick movies, honestly. I think it's like the way I put it in my head as soon as it was over, I said it was like the world of John Wick without all the bullshit.
Yeah.
John Wick.
Yeah, without the convoluted world building and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
like, okay, you get it. This is like what's the Eco Waste film?
The Raid?
The Raid?
Yeah.
No, before. Oh. No, Merontau? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Merontau. That's what it reminded me of, Merontau. And where it's like, okay, you get it. You understand this world. You don't have to be like, every, you know, guy on a street with a sign is actually a high-paid assassin that's just pretending to be a homeless. You know, that.
Yeah.
There's none of that kind of like garbage in there.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I get it. You get it. It's like this really cruel world, and this guy has just figured out how to navigate it. But they, it's also a little bit more... it seemed to be very overtly political, and I think that's an interesting choice. Even down to the sexual politics of the film, there's a whole thing with a trans community in there, and I'm like, this is surprising.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
For the genre, like they usually don't dip so like obviously in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about the politics, it makes it more grounded. Like you said, it's not like world building, a simulated world. It's like a criticism of real world India with a subtle note to current politics, like religious conservative trends in India. And on top of that, so they wanted to shoot in India for the movie, but of course, the Indian movie producers didn't allow it because it was too much critical of the current politics of India. It was maybe too graphic, too sexually oriented. So they ended up filming in Thailand, I think. And I don't really see like Thailand in the movie. They did a really great job at creating some kind of Gotham City, like Indian version of it.
Yeah, I would. If you hadn't said that, I would have noticed it.
I read that they couldn't film in India because of COVID.
Oh, okay, maybe I'm mistaken then.
And apparently, like, Indonesia had just less strict restrictions around filming during COVID or something.
Okay, but I would be surprised that...
The film was that old.
Yeah, I think it was in Netflix box for a long time until it went to some festivals and Jon Darpin picked it up. But yeah, I would be surprised if they would be allowed to make such a movie in India, because of things like, if you remember Indiana Jones 2, they were pressured to not be able to make the movie there because it was depicting India in a very bad way, according to Indian people. So,
which film?
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
The seventh one. Temple of Doom.
Oh, Temple of Doom. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if... I've always actually agreed with the notion that this is... It's not pointing a finger at India itself. Like, even Temple of Doom, I mean... But rather, like a supernatural, like the Tuggy cult is not, they're not necessarily, it's not like really an Indian specific thing, I guess, although I guess technically it is. Because they're not like, oh yeah, behind the Indian government is this cult.
Mm-hmm. Which is the case in Monkey Man, so that's why I'm surprised if they would be allowed to make that movie today in India.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... I noticed that this is a lot more violent than the other Bollywood films that we watched earlier, like Animal or Pathaan or Jawan. This is a lot more violent. So I guess I can understand why India might be kind of concerned about this being associated with them.
Well, I would be surprised if you would make this anywhere.
Yeah.
The fact that it it's more like in your face violence. Because, you know, we watched some of those Shah Rukh Khan and he kills like a 100 people or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they're fairly violent, but they're not violent in the holding a knife in his mouth and pushing it further into a guy's neck, you know, that that sort of thing is not. This is a little more like what's his name, the guy who made the braid, that kind of.
Yeah, Gareth Evans.
Maybe it's a British thing.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But
there's like a sensibility there.
Yeah, you weren't there for the Kill podcast, Animal Kill podcast we made, and I think it's the Kill movie, it's a Bollywood movie we did on the podcast, and it was very, very violent and kind of similar to Gareth Evans' style and similar to Monkey Man. I think it might be even gorier than Monkey Man, in a sense.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would love to see Dev Patel from this movie show up in an Animal sequel and just ruin the guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be cool, actually.
I think he's got a great screen presence in general. But I'd only known him from The Green Knight, and I quite like this guy. I want to
and
see him.
Did you watch Slumdog Millionaire as well? He was the lead as well?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I've seen him in a few more things, and I like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the main inspiration he got was from Danny Boyle in Slumdog Millionaire with the handheld cameras, like, and the dark side of poorer India and all that stuff. So he learned from one of the best.
Well, they were doing things with the camera that I thought were it was clearly just having fun with it. They do like whip pans to cut to give that illusion of long takes. But the thing that I really noticed was I think in particular there's a part where the camera's following them. It's running down a stairwell with them, and then it becomes sort of first person, and they're fighting, and then it would switch between first and third person, just kind of at a whim, and I thought that was a really interesting choice, but I was like, this is really fun. It just gave it this motion.
Yeah, like 10 seconds of hardcore Henry.
Oh, yeah.
But also partly due to budgetary restraints. Like, they couldn't afford big, fancy cameras for every shoot, so they just improvised sort of with GoPros and iPhones.
Honestly, if that's what it takes, I kind of am against the use of big fancy cameras, because I like the look of this way better than anything I've seen with a big fancy camera.
Yeah, the action is just dizzying. There's like cameras flipping all over the place. And the music during the action scenes, or really during any scene, is just straight bumping. Like, I really love the music in this movie. It was probably one of the best parts of the flick, is just how inspired like the music choices were.
Yeah, I really like the first fight scene in the bathroom. With Somebody to Love from, Jefferson Airplane play, like it was so good, this song playing in the background when the fight was going on and stuff. And I'm going to talk about my first experience with the movie. It's like, I was like in a kind of depressed state. I was not watching movies. And I decided to go watch Monkey Man in IMAX. And it was maybe one of the best theatrical experience I ever had. Like, it reconciled me with movies itself. And like, I was in it. Like, I was seeing the chaos unfolding, the rage of the director and the story and everything being so well put together. And it was, like I said, like one of the best theatrical experience I ever had. So, yeah.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. And you mentioned the rage of, like, the characters. And that's one of the reasons I think this kind of tops almost all the John Wick franchise, is because you actually feel the motivation of the characters. It's not like John Wick where he's just, like, killing people because I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why he's killing people in 2 and 3. I don't know. But, like, in Monkey Man, he's got a vendetta, and you feel the rage. And it really carries the movie along with the music and the wild action. It makes it worth watching.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, for me, when I watched it, I watched it last night, and I felt, there's something like, it's like renewing about watching somebody make something so fresh feeling out of all this stuff that, to me, has become very hackneyed. Like, the John Wick stuff, it's been 10 years of this, and I kind of roll my eyes when I see things generally like that. I'm like, oh, geez, and I thought that was what was going to happen even going into this, because he goes into the club and I'm like looking at him, I'm like, oh, okay, it's a John Wick. He's doing John Wick. I'm seeing this again. And I think it was in that scene with the Don't You Want Somebody to Love, that just Jefferson Airplane. I think it was in that scene where I just suddenly was like, this is actually really fun. I realized how good of a time I was having. And you brought up the that toilet. The gun going in the toilet. I felt like that was like a statement on gun violence in general.
Oh,
okay. Where he's just like, you know, what use this shitty gun? You want me to use a shitty gun?
You know. Yeah, because like you said, like, he's not using firearms. There's not much firearms fight in the movie. It's more like hand to hand. And at the end, like, he doesn't even have a gun. He had some fireworks to just shoot at people, not a gun.
Yeah, he's using his own. Like, there's like a level of classism at play there, where it's like, okay, he's using fireworks. He sets a propane bomb basically down in the kitchen. You know, this kind of like, oh, I'm coming from underneath. You know, the underclass, and I'm fighting my way up. You know, like Bruce Lee, Game of Death style almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the end, it's like a video game. Like, he's going from levels to levels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In order to fight the final boss.
And it works.
Yeah, how would you describe this plot in general? Because, I mean, it is essentially a revenge movie, but then it kind of isn't. It's like, okay, like, revenge, I think, is his initial goal, but it doesn't really work out. And, that, you know, there's a Cynthia Rothrock had a movie called, like, Lady Dragon, which is similar, where it's like, no, it's not really about revenge by the end of it. You know, it's about protecting or raising up others.
Mm-hmm. Justice.
IMDb described it as from revenger to avenger.
Oh?
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way of putting it, because, you know, he starts off motivated by revenge for, like, a deed that was committed against him in the past. I won't give it away yet. Maybe we'll get into it later, but there's, like, you know, an atrocity that was committed, so now he's out for revenge. But by the end, you know, he's fighting to save, like, the communities in India from, like, the nationalist sentiment that's kind of been ravaging the country.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then, you know, let alone this little crew of trans folk that help him out. And mm-hmm. he helps them out, obviously. And then, of course, they return the favor once again. This kind of back and forth. And then I assume, you know, this costume that they're dressed in at the end, I'm just guessing that's playing into something too, but I'm not really sure what it is.
Yeah, I think it's, they dressed as, the mask is Kali with the tongue out, like, it's a traditional Kali symbolism with the tongue out, that the Rolling Stone picked up as well for the logo.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't understand, like, every nuance of this film. I don't understand all the religious nuance or political nuance, but I got enough of it to, like, understand, like, oh, this is what's happening, and I enjoyed it.
And I think it doesn't take much to connect to the, like, an oppressed underclass. So It's like, I think you, like, everyone can kind of understand that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a movie made for international audience, contrary to Bollywood and Indian cinema, which is more localized, except for maybe some blockbusters. But this one was
made, I think, which is what makes them so good, obviously, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it has its own flair as well. It's like Monkey Man. Like, it has its own flair. Like, I don't know, some kind of Western class mixed with Eastern class, mixed with some Indian influences.
And Korean influences, according to Dev Patel himself.
Oh, really?
Especially stuff like The Man from Nowhere. I don't know if you guys have seen that one.
I haven't seen that one.
I haven't seen that one. But you know the movie I was mentioning earlier, Rocky Handsome? It's actually a Bollywood remake of The Man from Nowhere.
Oh, okay.
Well, so maybe
that makes sense.
Maybe the knife in the mouth thing come from The Man from Nowhere. I haven't seen, so I don't know.
Yeah. It's been too long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
Well, the big final battle, there are elements that reminded me of A Bittersweet Life, and that's a Korean film. So it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely getting that throughout the picture.
Yeah, and of course, most of those Korean movies were revenge movies as well.
Yep.
So there's that.
Well, that movie in particular, it's about being stepped on despite your status. The main character in A Bittersweet Life is, he's a loyal enforcer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he, you know, the boss is like, you know, just not feeling it that day and like fucks him over. It's like... Mm. Because he's not important to him.
Yeah. Great movie.
Oh, yeah. That's one I've seen it. Films all time.
I've seen it a long time ago. I don't remember anything about it. I should rewatch it, maybe.
I will always recommend people watch it.
I was sort of hoping that Monkey Man would go harder into its kickboxer references. Because there's the part of this movie where he ends up with a sort of a spiritual guy in the forests of supposed to be India. And the guy starts training him, and I was like, fuck, yes. This is what I want to see. It's been too long since this has been in movies.
The training montage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's too short.
Yeah. I don't think a training montage with 80s music would have been appropriate for the tone of the movie.
No.
We have one scene where he's punching a bag, and I think that's enough. Like, he's punching it really hard.
Yeah.
In rhythm with the music that the guy is playing.
Yeah.
Just dropping all that precious rice on the dirt.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the pit fighting scenes early on, I was a bit worried because I thought there might be a chance, just a slight chance, since I didn't know anything about this movie, that it was going to be a fantasy film where his actual head was a monkey head there for a while. And I was a little concerned. I was like, uh-oh, this better be a Planet of the Apes mask. I don't want to have like a two-hour movie following around a guy with an ape head. But sure enough, yes, it's a mask. So all is well in the world.
You weren't hoping it was actually Robbie Williams.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I thought it was very interesting framing device. They basically use it to say, like, actually this guy can, it kind of furthers that other class metaphor where it's like, no, he's been raised to take punishment.
Yeah.
So, like, they when they beat on him, it's like, yeah, but he can take it.
Yeah, it's like it's a very, very, how can I say this? What's the right word? It's not very realistic how many punches and kicks he gets. Like, should be dead by the half of the movie, but he keeps on going. I won't spoil the ending, but it's pretty much implied that he died anyway. So, yeah.
Got the Shane ending.
Yeah.
It's fine. I hope... I don't know. I'm guessing this movie did well because we're talking about it, but I guess I don't really know. But it seemed like the kind of movie that a modest budget, so you could probably recoup that easily. And then I would hope that if not a direct sequel, I just hope that he can use this as a springboard for future great action movies.
I, of course, like I would love to see the next movie directed by Dev Patel. Like, I think he was so good in The Green Knight. Like, the movie itself is a masterpiece. And, like, he nailed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I hadn't really... It's been a while since I watched The Green Knight. I can't even remember. They came out forever ago, it feels like.
2021, I think.
Oh, gosh. This is 4 years, and yet it feels to me, it's like might as well be 10. I mean, obviously it's not because he's a young man. He's probably in his 30s, mid-30s, young to mid-30s, I'm guessing. But
born in the same year as I, so very young.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just like, yeah, he's got a promising career ahead of him. So I would love to see more of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely, I had not even thought about it with the Green Knight. Now I'm like, oh, I want to see him in like everything now.
Yeah, he actually made several movies since he was revealed in Slumdog Millionaire. Like, I heard that there was some nice movie he made, like Four Lions. I haven't seen it, but I heard it's good. Like,
no,
it's more like a drama. Oh, Lion, yeah, of course. Yeah, like it's more like a drama movie, not an action movie. But
I've seen it. It's really good. Yeah, starring Nicole Kidman. Great movie. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was in Hotel Mumbai, also a good one.
Mm-hmm. And I would obviously recommend Slumdog Millionaire. Like, that's where Monkey Man, I think, originally came from. Like, it's like more like a drama version of Monkey Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like the world building related to the whole, you know, India, the slums of India. It's not like convoluted world building like you would see in like a John Wick movie, as we've said before. But you've got like the underground gun store, you know, and you've got like all these kind of like hidden places and like little corners of this world that you can go to and visit that like are kind of shady but also kind of friendly sometimes. And you got like the pickpocket system of like all the pickpockets handing like the stolen like purse from person to person to person. Yeah, I like that part of it. It's not like in your face world building, but it's really good related to like the whole Slumdog Millionaire thing.
Well, that part just made me think, like, why are these people helping him? Is he paying them?
Oh.
What's their relationship?
So that was my impression. Yeah, my impression is that there's like a system of street pickpockets, and if you pay somebody a little bit, then they can like get something for you.
Okay.
That was the impression I got, because he chose her. He showed them who he needed pickpocketed, and then they went and did it.
Okay.
Which was very much like the opening of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1990, where they steal the wallet and then it's going around all the different hands.
And playing his boss in the fighting ring, Sharlto Copley.
Mm-hmm. The only Western actor.
Western Africa. Is that Western?
Yeah. Western, okay. Like, not
West
geographical
of India.
Not geographical West, like economical West.
Okay.
Yeah.
He means white.
Yeah. He's a white dude. Yeah.
No, it's funny that when he showed up, there was like, oh, am I watching a Neil Blomkamp joint?
They did work together in Chappie, a Neil Blomkamp movie.
Oh. I didn't know he was in there. I didn't meet that, but then.
Oh, yeah, he's the lead. Everybody's distracted by Hugh Jackman's shorts in that film, I think. But
oh, he's playing the robot, right? Is he the robot?
No, he's the computer guy who helps the two the Antwoord people.
Oh yeah, South African band.
Yeah,
I never watched it. I think I was kind of tired of Neil Blomkamp a little bit at the time.
It's terrible.
I just never picked it up. I think I really liked District 9, and then I think Elysium came out, and I was like, maybe I'm like, I was overhyped for this guy.
Yeah.
So I didn't even get into Chappie. Also, it kind of looked like a weird, like, white trash ET, and I was like, I don't need this. I've seen the Iron Giant, I'm good.
Yeah. And did you recognize any of the other actors from watching Bollywood movies, Charles?
No, nobody. Like, literally nobody. I don't even think these are, like, Bollywood actors. But I might be wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen any faces or anybody that I recognized.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to bring up the very interesting thing where you don't really get a name for him. He calls himself Bobby at one point, but it's clearly from the Bleach.
Yeah,
he just takes the name, which is really funny to me because I'm like, well, he got hired at some point. So, like, what did they call him when they hired him?
Well, there's a lot of things that, like, they call it, like, I don't know if it's the right term in English, like black hiring. Like, you work there, but you don't have a status or a contract. You're just hired. And before.
Well, we got that on construction sites over here, but
yeah, I think it's everywhere anyways, so
off the record, so the tax man can't get anybody.
Yeah,
under the table, they call it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually thought it was really clever at first, because he calls himself Bobby, and you'd only kind of, it's a blink and you'll miss it when the camera kind of pans by, and you can see it says Bobby's Bleach.
Yep.
Well,
it's
pretty explicitly focused on the bleach bottles.
Well, at first I thought, oh, that's really clever. But then they just kept showing the bleach. Well, I was like, if you didn't get it before, I think you got it. But I was like, it would have been way clever if the only time you see it is when later on he's, you know, shortly after, I guess it's like, I don't know, 5 minutes later, they have a scene of him washing the floor and you can see the bottle. And I would have been like, that would have been funny. If it's like, that was it. That was the only thing we got.
Might have been a product placement commercial, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a real thing. I have no idea.
Well, he says that he got the scars on his hand because of bleach.
Yeah, but they, I mean, he's lying, because we later find out why he really had the scars. But
well, but that would be, still would be terrible product placement, I think.
Well, I've seen worse, you know, their movies, you know. Some brand, you know, just don't care and make us look like evil. And
like, as long as no, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Bleach, it messes you up.
As long as you don't have a guy, drinking it, we're
snorting it. Snorting it is fine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That actually, I always think that's painful when I watch that. When the guy snorts it. And he goes to the bathroom. I was just like, oh God, I can't watch that. So
I already have that when you're just like, okay, I know he's an actor. I know he's not actually snorting bleach, but he is snorting something.
Yeah.
That just got to suck on its own, right?
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, I think they use like powdered milk or something like for the movies in general.
Yeah, but still, I don't want to put that shit up my nose either.
Yeah. Acting is hard.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, it's like you get paid well enough. They're like, it's totally fine. But yeah, that was good. But there's this kind of a semi relationship with the escort lady and Bobby that I thought was a very interesting choice, because it's like, it feels like in a more classic movie they would have run off together at the end.
Yes.
But it's just sort of like a mutual respect in this.
Yep. And yeah, she ended up saving his life.
Mm-hmm.
Dev Patel said it would have been weird in a movie that features stuff about sexual exploitation and abuse to have them end up together. To have like the happy ending be a kiss. And I guess he has a point.
Yeah, I get it. I think about Russell Crowe when he talked about when they were doing Gladiator, and that was the thing he fought against, was a relationship with Connie Nielsen's character. And he said, this guy is avenging his wife and child's murder, and now he's going to stop to get some fucking nookie? He's like, he said, no, that doesn't make any sense. So they took it out, and I think it's better for it. And I guess maybe this is as well.
Yeah, but the Drake on it for the sequel, you know?
Oh.
Yeah. For the sequel, but
yeah, the sequel's just going to be all fucking all the time.
You know, like I said, Dev's a good looking man. I'm okay. I'm watching that. Oh, yeah. You mean the girl? Yeah. She's nice too.
She has like the biggest eyes I've ever seen on a person.
I noticed that too. Yeah.
Winona Ryder eyes. You're like, wow, okay. But that's why you pick somebody like that. You want somebody that's just expressive with very little input.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the supporting cast stood out pretty well. It's not one of those movies where you get mixed up with who's who. I thought they all did a good job like playing their characters and standing out and being defined.
Yeah, I really liked the gal that played the evil, the female underboss.
Queenie.
Can't remember. Yes.
Queenie Kapoor.
Fantastic. I really liked her.
Yeah, I liked Sikandar Kher, is his name, who played the police chief. Because that role just seemed like, I haven't seen a lot of Bollywood movies, but it seems like that character is in every single one of them.
Yeah, the evil chief of police.
Yeah, as much as they don't like political stuff against the government, they're totally fine with every movie shitting on the police.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're mostly fine on that in the US too. We can do that in general.
Mm-hmm. India is a nation of A-cabbers.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. You know, there's sometimes good police officers. Like one movie that really looked like Monkey Man, but if you want to watch like a Bollywood version, purely Bollywood version of Monkey Man, I'd recommend the movie Baby John. It like has the same themes, you know, action heroes, revenge and stuff, but it's more like Bollywood. And yeah, it says, I think there's some references to Monkey Man, similar themes and stuff.
Okay, Baby John?
Yep.
All right.
I feel like I've heard of this.
Yeah, probably because of my kid count or something.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I'm also pretty sure maybe Joss recommended it in another episode.
Yeah.
Could be.
And we still haven't watched it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do it someday.
I recommend it so much stuff anyway, so you won't be able to watch everything.
Future episode. There you go.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, this is, it's so weird. We keep talking about it like it's a Bollywood film, but it's really not.
Yeah.
So,
oh, no.
And I don't have a lot to go off of, but I mean, there's not, it's just stylistically so different. And then, of course, you can look it up and it's like, yeah, production, completely different thing. But it doesn't really have that feel even. It's its own thing, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very stylish.
The closest thing I would compare it to is like a John Wick movie.
Mm-hmm. Like
maybe. What's up?
I was just saying, like, the most obvious reference to Indian cinema is the musicality and rhythmic of things. It's like something that Indian cinema specialize on, musical and stuff.
Do we know if Dev Patel has anything else in the pipe? Because this is a pretty stunning debut.
Oh, yeah, for like $10 million only?
Oh,
Jesus,
wow.
Jesus Christ. Give yourself a break, dude. $10 million budget, shot during COVID. How the fuck do you even manage that?
I guess it would probably be frustrating that it took a few years to come out then.
That as well, probably.
Yeah, and I can't believe Netflix like saw this and said, no, it's too good for us. We won't release it. Like, insane when you figure about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, what makes it more insane, I read that they bought it for $30 million, this $10 million movie, and then afterward they sold it to Jordan Peele for less than 10.
Oh, wow.
So they need to fire their accountant, I guess.
Something. Yeah, I'm trying, the math isn't working on this. Yeah, I don't know.
No. But he seems to be, Dev Patel seems to be working on something called The Peasant, set in the 14th century, about a shepherd getting revenge against mercenaries who ravaged his community.
Mm. I'd watch that.
I think sounds very similar to Monkey Man, and I definitely watch that. It's like Monkey Man in medieval times, so it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But it's more Sheepman because he's a shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sheepman. Good one. Isn't that a Glenn Ford movie? I don't know.
No, this is just wonderful. I'm just kind of like replaying in my head just some of these fight scenes and stuff. Just, I think the only thing that I was like, okay, maybe don't bother. There was a car chase, and it's so shaky that I think that was probably the only thing that I disagreed with. Like, don't do that. If you can't do it, don't do it.
Yeah. And apparently, because of COVID, all the streets were closed off and empty anyway.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, you had all the space. But then again, that like scooter thing that he drives couldn't actually go fast at all. So it required some editing.
Oh.
It's sort of a joke in the movie. You know, there's a part where it has nitrous. And you're like, okay, dude. Your three-wheeler got nitrous on it.
But thank God it's not a very long scene, so...
Yeah.
It was fine for me, like...
Yeah.
I didn't mind this one too much.
No, but, I mean, it's like, at that point, I'm looking for things to nitpick. It's like,
yeah.
Most of it's so fun, and, like the movie never like stops. It's 2 hours long and it never mm-hmm. like stops charging forward. The editing is very sharp, and especially once it gets into the action scenes, the ending is just like a gauntlet of thrills and grit and gore.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't feel like 2 hours and 15. Like I felt it like it was more like a 1 hour 30 movie the first time I watched it, you know?
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I actually had to look at it and say, I was like, no, it says that it's literally 2 hours and 1 minute long. I was like, okay, if you say so. Although I don't know how much of that is credits, because it did not feel long. It breezes past real quick.
Yeah.
It's like continuous action scenes. Like it's like a relentless movie. Like 30 minutes in, we already have the big vengeance scene, whereas all the action goes out.
Well, they do an interesting thing there, where so he's trying to get revenge, and then it's like the movie kind of goes, no, this isn't really what you want, and it kind of like stops him dead. And what's her name even has a. Why I forget her name. The escort Queenie? Even says something to him about, like, if you can't handle this life, maybe you should leave or something. And it was just like, because she kind of misinterprets what his objections to are. But it's really that he's like, I don't know if I want to, like, kill somebody.
Yeah, he hesitates the first time when he's against the main bad guy. Like, he's shaking. He doesn't shoot. Mm-hmm. And then leads on to all the bad stuff that's going to happen to him later.
Even though his plan up to then, he did really well. He fought everything through, and then the execution was flawless. And the follow through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, he should have just done it, because a lot of people end up dying because he didn't do that.
But there was mostly
bad
guys.
He's the bad guy, actually.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But, also, yeah. I don't know. It's really stylish.
If I'm going to be... Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, like, I like the style of the film. Like, there's a really great part. It might be the panic attack scene. I'm not sure, though. Where, like, Monkey Man is walking through the kitchen. And you see, like, fires going up from, like, the food being cooked. And it, like, juxtaposes these fires with, like, the flashback sequence of what happened that motivates him for revenge. And I thought that part was really impressive. I just like all the style that goes on in this movie.
Yeah, of course, like the editing, the style, like with handheld cameras, the sound effects, like it reminded me like some Asian movies which are filming chaos, like some Choi Hak movie like The Blade or stuff like that. It really reminded me like filming chaos, and yeah, I felt it, you know, when I watched it in theater.
Yeah, I prefer my movies to be a bit less frenetic, if that's the right word.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy this. I think the camera is too close for pretty much everything. Like, use some more wide shots maybe next time. But I did enjoy it.
Yeah, he's cheating a little bit. So, like, very simple things. I think when he first goes into the final raid and he takes out the two guys in the alley to get into the building, he clearly, like, he throws them off screen and he's hitting them. You can't really see that he's hitting them because it's like shot from like the chest up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. it's cheating. That's what you do when you're low budget, and that you save it for the moments that matter. So it's like, no, you don't see that, but you do see when he gets into the room with everybody, you see like all of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's cracking a guy's head down onto the burner and smashing something over that guy's head. This fire coming up, and it's like, yeah, okay, this now we're cooking, literally. So it's like, you know, it's like I'm okay with it because I understand that the payoff's going to be there, especially now. It's like you can rewatch and be like, okay, that's what he's doing, he's ramping it up. So it starts low key.
All right, fair enough. And I will also say that my favorite part when it comes to the music is actually the scene where there's only one instrument on the soundtrack. It almost feels like the movie is just slowing down and focusing on what's happening without any distraction. That's my favorite part of the movie, I guess.
Yeah. Is this a punching bag scene?
No. It's later when he's in the restaurant fighting the guys. Just before
I remember that.
The Hijra, is that what they're called? The transsexuals? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just before was he's all alone? Before he's all alone? Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually did it right when they all show up. There's a a real brief second where all of the sound completely drops out. And there it's about, I don't know, 2 or 3 seconds long of just absolute silence, which was an interesting choice, I thought. And then he's just like, ah, starts yelling, and they all go back into it. But I loved that. Like, just like a little bit of pure silence in a movie that's been really constant noise, I think, up until that moment.
Mm-hmm. And right after that, it's like it's a big dance fight, you know, like with the dresses and the sparks, everything's against, and the fights. Like, that's the only dance scene in the movie. It's like a dance fight scene.
Yeah. Well, because they're even using their outfits in a way that, you know, the flowing nature of them, just kind of like spinning around, little dervish movements and things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I want to see more of this guy, and it's weird to me that, because this feels like, I don't know, this is like somebody's fifth movie or something, but no, this is his first directorial, and it's like, oh, give me more of this guy. This guy's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he learned from the best.
Jackie Chan out there.
Yeah, he learned from the best as well. You know, like I said, he went with Danny Boyle. That was the whole handheld camera thing come from. Yeah,
and he learned from Neil Blomkamp too.
Yeah, yeah. Neil Blomkamp, the guy who did the Green Light.
The best and Neil Blomkamp.
Yeah, I don't hate Neil Blomkamp, but yeah.
But yeah, I'd give Monkey Man a solid thumbs up, because I like its blending of influences, Eastern and Western, like I said. It's got just rock solid action scenes that are just pummeling and so violent and high impact. It's got music. I really like the music too. It's got a burning revenge plot that kind of segues into like more of like a justice for all plot. And, you know, I was a little confused at times about like the politics, the nuances of all the politics and religious aspects, but I got the big picture, so it didn't really affect me too much. So yeah, I'd give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, big thumbs up from me as well. Like I rated it 8 when I first watched it, and then I rewatched it, and for me it's a 9 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
Personally,
I'm at a 6.5 out of 10 at this moment, but I don't know. Could go either way.
Marty's the hater.
Yeah.
Well, you guys hate Monkey Man. Yeah.
I don't hate it. But yeah.
He's like, if Rutger Hauer was in it, then... you
know. It would have been even worse.
Yeah.
Rutger Hauer is Monkey Man.
I think he could have played the evil shaman.
Yeah. That would have been good.
Why not?
Yeah.
Just like phoning it in. throw a wig on him and just it in.
No, don't cover his beautiful blonde hair. But you know, maybe it'll grow on me on a rewatch, and I'm definitely excited for Dev Patel's next film.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Medieval John Wick sounds very good, actually.
Yes. All right.
Well, yeah, I think that's about as much as might run on to say about this one.
Yeah. So in closing, thank you for listening. Subscribe to the podcast. Like the podcast if you liked it. Check out the website, alloutofbubblegum.com. Join the Discord. Check out our Patreon. And we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
All right.
Thanks for joining.
Yeah. See you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Taking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!